in that today. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are flowing through this place. We thank you that you are here and present. God, we love you. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
All creatures of our God and King. Boy, can you imagine all across our community, across our nation, and around the world, all creatures of our God and King coming together to worship the one true living God, and then to come to the holy sacrament of communion together across the land, remembering what Christ has done for us corporately and for you personally. And I pray, as we have prayed this week, that this service for some of you again would change your life. And it should move all of us in some way as we remember what Christ has done in our lives. I'm Eric, one of the pastors here. It's my privilege to continue just in this series on Breathe. Reclaiming your life, that's what we want. And I know last week for some of you, it was a rough week as you looked at, we talked about workaholics and did the diagnostic questions. Some of you, again, failed miserably in a good way because you needed a wake-up call. That some things need to change in your life. And we believe that reclaiming your life, understanding that hurriedness in your life, that busyness in your life is not of God. We've seen in these first two messages that he has given us a healthy rhythm, that he has modeled and he desires for his people. And so in order for you to have that again, you need to reclaim your life by returning to Sabbath, understanding what it is to rest, to cease from work, and to be in the presence of God, not only on the Lord's Day, Sunday, but even throughout the week, to find these little Sabbath rest where you can disconnect from the hurriedness of your life and commune with God in a very real and meaningful way. And so again, I would just tell you that we have looked at the scriptures. It is unscriptural, and I would say it's unnatural not to have a time of rest in your life. And that it certainly is unhealthy not to have a rhythm of rest and work. And we saw this last week. This comes from Peter Scarzero, the emotionally healthy discipleship. And when I listened to this podcast, this tag just really struck with me because, again, we don't want to be in the ditch of being a workaholic. It's a ditch and it's deep. If you're just working all the time and your identity is in your work and you're not trusting God in your rest. But you don't want to be on the other side. You don't want to be in the ditch of laziness. The scriptures has much to say about just being lazy. And you don't want to be lazy. Again, we find meaning and purpose in our work. It's where we spend a lot of our time, and there's value in how we glorify God, how we meet the needs of those in our life. And so work is important. But our society and culture has made work the priority, and that's why the order of this statement struck me as so important. Again, so many of us, we live out of our work, 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 and so we rest in order to go back to work. And so we work really hard. We know we're going to hit the wall at some point. We get some rest, and we go back to work. But from the scriptures, it says that we don't work from our rest. We rest from our work. And so we want to rest well, and we rest in the Lord, and then we go to work. And we see this creation rhythm right from the very beginning, right in the garden of Adam and Eve, of stopping and resting, meeting God, and he renews us. And then after we're renewed, we go back to work. And then we take that time and we stop and we rest, and God meets us and he renews us, he refreshes us, and then we go back to work. And that order is so important. Genesis, again, ends with God saying on the sixth day, everything is very good. But then Genesis 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says that he rested. He enjoyed all of his creation. It wasn't that God was tired. It's that he enjoyed his creation, and he wants us to enjoy his creation, to stop and just see the beauty of this beautiful weekend, to notice the changing of the seasons, to notice the people in your life, to stop and to rest. And God gives us that model and that rhythm. And yet we know that rest is elusive. It's one of those things that everyone wants. When you just talk, everyone says, oh, I just love to be able to rest or relax. Everyone wants this. Everyone needs this. We know that we need rest. I'm not even trying to convince you of that. Most of you know you need rest. Most of you want rest. And yet our natural tendency is to stop and run from the rest. we just running from the rest that's made available to us right there. There was a story I read this week in preparation of a young man, 29 years old, healthy. He was a part of the Air Force Airmen, and so he loved to challenge his body. He loved to challenge his mind, and he would take on these grueling tasks of survival. And so he was part of this wilderness survival adventure, and it was supposed to be 28 days. He was only in day two, but in the desert of Utah, with the temperatures at 100 degrees, can you imagine? He had already spent 10 hours running with 11 other people being challenged and the guides. The article in the newspaper said that he began just to shut down his body with no water as he kept pushing himself. It says that he mistook a tree for a person and said, "There she is," as he begins to hallucinate. He continued to run despite a desperate need for water. The guides carried water but did not offer it to David, nor did he ask for it. He just kept going. David collapsed on the ground, face down in the dirt. He was less than 100 yards from a cave where everyone would stop, and there was fresh water in that cave. It really is a tragic story, but he died simply from thirst, a healthy 29-year-old pushing his body to the limits. And when I think of that story, how tragic it is, I think about, again, the gospel message in Jesus looking out at us and understanding just how tired and weary some of you are, that we need that spiritual rest, that we need that spiritual nourishment. And yet for some of you, you've run so hard, you've kept going and going, and you think you have no limits, but all of us have limits, and eventually you burn out, you fall over, you collapse. And it's interesting to me that oftentimes when people do collapse in their weariness, the first thing they do is quit going to church, quit praying, and even begin to shift the blame, like, where were you, God? When all along God has said, you need to stop. I will give you rest. And so again, for some of you, I want from a pastor just to sincerely be your guide. Some of you need to stop. You are way too hurried in your life. You're way too overworked in what you're doing and what you're overcommitted to. I want to just tell you again that as you come to the communion table, that you need to stop, you need to rest, you need to listen to what God wants to say to your soul, because it really does matter. I want to tell you about these rhythms, because I think as we've looked at this series, there's this combination of rhythms and Sabbath. We talk a lot about life rhythms. And that's part of our language here at the church, having rhythms in your life, emotionally, spiritually, physically, intellectually, socially. All these things matter. And God created us as whole human beings to experience these things in rhythm in life. The wisest man that ever lived was named Solomon. He was the son of David. He was a great businessman. And so Ecclesiastes kind of shows us this rhythm of life. And so Solomon is there, and he's asking simply, what is the meaning of life? And how do I live life without God? Everything under the sun. And he's taking this inward introspective look at his struggles and how he's going to do this. And in chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And so we begin to see this rhythm. He says there's a time, there's literally a season for all of this. And as we look at this, he goes on in verses 2 and 3 using Hebrew poetry. He says there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Verse 7, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Literally, life is seasons, and every one of us is in different seasons as we move through life. I mean, that's how we experience life, is in these seasons. Literally, all of these seasons that we experience, these rhythms of life that we move through, Some of you in the season of having little kids and how busy that is. Matter of fact, I didn't tell you this last week. When we talked about workaholics, do you know the top ones most at risk for being workaholics? Professionals, those that own their own business, and the number one at risk for being a workaholic, homemakers, littles. And I get it. It is a crazy, busy time. How do you find rest? But there's a season for all of this, and that's what Solomon is getting at. There's this rhythm, this season, and it's biblical. He says in verse 11, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart," right? It's part of us. We know that this rest, we know that there's more than just this life, this work, this hurriedness that we feel. It's in us. And yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so that's one of the ways I think you can even tell if you're maturing in your faith. A mature follower of Jesus understands these rhythms, accepts these rhythms, and is growing in their faith, understanding that it's not always going to be easy. There are times when with the littles, it's a busy time. There's times when you're a grandparent. We just had the grandkids over, and when Jan and I got in bed last night, we were exhausted. It's a lot of fun, but it's a whole different season than we had little boys. It's a different season when we were empty nesters. It's a different season when you're a grandparent. All of life is seasons. There's rhythms. Pay attention. The mature follower of Jesus understands and pays attention to what season they're in, to observe the things around them. Rebecca Lyons, who is... just wrote a book, Rhythms of Renewal. Some of the women in our church are doing her study. She says this: we are restless when we rest less. And as we just look at that quote, we think about these rest invaders. That's what I'll call them. Rest invaders. It can be your job invades your rest. It can be your possessions, right? Even those hobbies you have can invade your rest because you got to take care of all those hobbies. Honestly, it can be your spouse. It can be your kids who will invade your rest. And I would even go so far to say that it can be your church that can invade your rest. That you get so restless, so busy. But unless you rest less, unless you stop and take that time, then you cannot be healthy. You can write this down. In my experience, I would say rest requires faith. In order to rest, to really understand biblical rest, you need to have faith, to trust God, that what he has said, the patterns that he has given are true and will work in your life. And then the conclusion. Solomon in the conclusion says this: "Now all I have heard," remember he's the wisest man, "here is the conclusion of the matter: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." That's it. We'll just boil it down. I mean, here's a guy who owned all kinds of things. And here was a guy who had all kinds of relationships. And when he boils it all down in the busyness of life and the rhythms and the seasons of life, he says, here it is, just this simple. Respect God. Respect the rhythms that God gives us. Be in awe of God. And then what? Obey him. Trust him. Follow these laws. Follow these commands. Follow these principles that he gives you. And take your rest, stop, be renewed, and then go back to work. And you will find a rhythm in life that is much healthier, much more vibrant than anything you could experience on your own. And as we come to the communion table, I'm going to share a classic passage with you, and we're going to look at Jesus' words. And these words from Jesus, again, I believe are life-changing. I think these words from Jesus summarize Christianity. And so if you are here watching online and you're a seeker, I would say this passage encapsulates Christianity. This is it in a nutshell. If you want to know what being a Christian is, if you want to know about Christianity, it's right here in these words that Jesus gives us this morning. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we hear these words of Jesus, and two main ideas here is that, one, we see that biblical rest, true biblical rest, is possible. It is available. And that that true biblical rest, the source of that, is in Jesus himself. This passage came to life to me again many years ago now, it seems, in my 30s, sitting again in that counseling room. You know that I burned out in ministry. But it was in that room as I sat there again as a 30-year-old something pastor, burned out, sad, depressed. And the counselor shared this passage with me. You know how passages then just grab you and you go, whoo, and I memorized it, and he had me stay in it for a long period of time, looking at each of the words, understanding what they meant, learning about rhythms that I was not practicing, understanding what real biblical rest looked like, which I did not know. All I knew was the busyness of church, the busyness of young children, the busyness and the hurriedness of life. And I know that hits some of you today, and that's why I share this passage with you, because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and the words of Jesus do the transformation in your life as he has done in my life, to understand just how important these words are. These three verbs: come, take, learn. And so let's look at these, first of all, in the invitation. You won't find, again, a better invitation than this. Jesus says, come to me. This invitation is not a command. It's this gentle request. Come to me. Come. Come to me. Let's sit for a while. Come, get away, and come and be with me. It's not coming to a program. It's not coming to a philosophy. It's coming to a person. And that's so important for you to understand. It's about a relationship with this person, Jesus. And it's as general as can be. I mean, these words are so simple. This invitation is so simple. The promise here is so simple. And yet it is life-changing. It is so profound. It changes absolutely. It absolutely comprehends everything, all of the burdens, everyone, all of you. He gives this gentle invitation. And so it's so general, and yet it's so personal. It's this face-to-face. And as you hold the elements today, I pray that you almost sense Jesus right there, sitting right with you as the Holy Spirit meets you, and he's face-to-face with you. He knows you. He knows every part of you. And there's two ways that you cannot respond to this invitation. A couple ways that people do not respond to this invitation is by simply saying, by being as bad as I can possibly be and breaking all the rules. So if I can be as bad as I can possibly be, break all the rules, and then I will just simply say, it's hopeless. There's no way that God could help me. I'm the worst kind of person. And they would be wrong, wouldn't they? Because God said, that's the person I'm looking for. But they miss the invitation because they think they're so bad. But there's the other person too, by being so good. I mean, I'm so good that I keep all the rules. I'm so good that I do everything. I do everything right. And therefore, I really don't need to come. And they would be wrong, right? So Jesus gives this invitation. And you may be here and feel like you're the worst sinner. If anyone really knew, there's no way Jesus would meet you. But my bigger concern is for those that are here this morning or watching online who think in some way you're good enough and you have it all together, and you look at those words of Jesus and they just kind of flow over you and go, I got this. I don't need to come today, Jesus. Maybe later on in life, maybe at some other point, but I'm okay. And you see, Jesus knows exactly what our needs are. He knows what we need. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Well, not me, right? I mean, who wants to say today, I'm weary and burdened? Well, I would push a little bit to say, I'm 61 years old, been in ministry for 40-some years. I don't know some of you at all. Some of you I know better than others. But I do know this. There's not one person watching online or in the room that doesn't or isn't burdened. In all these years of ministry, every one of you is burdened. Every one of you has a burden. And so if you're sitting here again, I want the Holy Spirit to convict you. If you in some way think, not me, that I'm strong enough and I'm vibrant enough and I got it together. I'm not that guy that Jesus is talking to. I'm not that woman that Jesus is talking to that's weary and burdened. And I'll show you why, because if you're going to come to the communion table to this day, if you're going to come to this invitation that Jesus gives you, who is he looking for? Mark 2:7, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I'm looking for those that are burdened. I'm looking for those that are weary. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." It's that first step. It's the first step to the communion table. It's the first step that we all have to take. It was the first step that I needed to take in that counselor's room so long ago as I read this passage, was just come to the reality that I couldn't do it all on my own. That I needed to just be honest and say, I am burdened, I am weary, I am depressed, I am sad, I am lost. And it is in that incredible humility when you are broken and Jesus says, come to me. Come on. Come and rest. Because that's the real issue. We look at our lives and we compartmentalize, I'm better than that person. I got it together. They don't have it together. It's not that bad, Pastor. Some people say I'm a perfectionist. Some people say I'm a workaholic, but I don't really think so. Denial, denial, denial. And Jesus says, you got a bigger issue. Let me give you an illustration from Pilgrim's Progress, that classic book John Bunyan wrote, main character Christian. And so Christian is on the move, and the whole thing is this is like, you know, original sin. He is burdened, and he's carrying this pack. And I mean, this is a huge pack, and he's carrying, and he's just burdened. He's burdened with everything. You can imagine just going through life with all this burden of the sin and the guilt and the shame, all this brokenness, and he's just trying to make it. And he gets to the cross, and he sees the beauty of the cross, and he realizes what happened to the cross. And he throws off that burden, and it changes his life. Here's what it says about Christian. It says, he ran thus until he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross a little below in the bottom, a tomb. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burdens loosened from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of that tomb where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Those burdens gone, gone. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, he said, with a merry heart. He has given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death. Then he stood a while to look and to wonder. And that's what I want you to do. Look and wonder at the communion table. Look and wonder at the cross. And as he looked and wondered, it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease his burden. So he looked and he looked again, even until the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks. The cross of Christ, come. And so we have a real dilemma here. The real dilemma is this, is that you are unfit for heaven. And you are unable to change any of the circumstances of your life to make you good enough to get to heaven. And if you would pause long enough at the communion table this morning, you would realize that is a heavy burden. And you would acknowledge when Jesus says, come to me, you would say, I have a burden. I cannot get to heaven on my own. I am not good enough to get there. I am unable to change my circumstances. I am unable to change who I am. Only God, the source of life, my creator, can do this in my heart to change me. And oh, like Christian, to throw that burden off and to come to faith in Jesus Christ, whether for the first time or be renewed in your faith and throw those burdens off and say, yes, I'm free, and it will be at the cross, nowhere else. It is only at the cross that those burdens that you carry will tumble off and be no more. And you will experience that. And this great exchange of Jesus, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Listen, every one of you has a yoke on you this morning. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, come put my yoke on. He's saying, you already are yoked. I'll give you the meaning here to the original audience in just a moment. But he's saying, you already have a yoke on you, men, women, young people. You already have a yoke on you. The question is, who or what are you yoked to? Because whoever you're yoked to, whatever you're yoked to, now you're bound to that person. Now you're enslaved to that thing. You name it. It's your job you're yoked to. It's your possessions you're yoked to. It's bad relationships you're yoked to. It's your need for power you're yoked to. And so Jesus is saying, I know you're already yoked. He's not saying get rid of, he's not saying you're not, you are yoked. He's saying, but I want you to take my yoke. I want you to put my yoke on. It's a very different yoke than what you have. And so obviously in that day, in that first century church, they knew what a yoke was. Two oxen in tandem. That was kind of the view of these two oxen pulling and doing the work in the field. It was a hard work for the animals. But Jesus obviously wasn't talking about ox pulling a plow. He was talking about spiritual condition. And so as he looked at the people, again, his audience there in front of them, and you know this if you have read your Bibles, you've heard me say over the years, again, this is the religion. I'm going to be real calm because religion makes me mad. It made Jesus really mad. Religion just wrecks people, still does today. And so he's looking at these people, and they have this yoke. What are they yoked to? He says, you're yoked to religion. You're yoked to, because these religious leaders, these Pharisees, have put this yoke on you that says that to please God, to come into the presence of God, you have to prove yourself. You have to do, you have to do, you have to do. And they had all these laws, all this legalism, 613 laws, and then they would watch you. And so you would be yoked to these rabbis, and these rabbis would watch your life. They would watch your family, and they would say, got you, got you, got you. You got to do better. You need to do better. God's not going to love you. God's not going to care for you. God's not going to meet your needs unless you do these things. Prove yourself. Do the work. And you can only imagine the response, the burden of this yoke of religion, of trying to perform, the burden of trying to do these things. It was miserable to them. They were frustrated. They were broken. There was no joy in their relationship with God. It was work, work, work. And Jesus says, take my yoke on you. What an amazing invitation. An amazing invitation. Because my yoke is different. Very different. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Jesus says, my yoke is different. I want you to take off the yoke of religion. I want you to take that yoke of having to obey all those laws they came up with. You take that yoke off and you put on the yoke of grace. Right here, right now. You put on the yoke of grace and understand God's goodness. And understand that God is pursuing you and wants to have a relationship with you, no matter how bad you may think you are. I just made a note, we have to prove ourselves. And maybe we say, whether it's in religion, I see it in the church. In some way, we have to prove ourselves. And how do we prove ourselves? I wrote the word in real big print. We prove ourselves, and I claim this one. My wife is pushing at me sometimes. We prove ourselves by overcommitting, right? That's what we do. We don't stop and rest. We have to prove ourselves. And so we overcommit to all kinds of things. And we go, and we go, and we go. And we don't hear the words of Jesus saying, stop, take a moment and rest. So this next point is just discipleship. It's the pathway of Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you, and I want you to learn. This is a lifelong learning. And so I would just ask you here again is that when you are yoked with Jesus, you are still yoked, right? You are still yoked to Jesus. He said, come follow me. We're going to do life together, and it's going to be a lifelong learning, and I'm going to change some things about you. And again, you have a choice. Again, for some, they look at this relationship with Jesus, and they just consume. It's not about consuming. It's not just about sitting there. And that's why I just say, you just can't sit there. That's not the Christian faith. You just can't. And Jesus says, I want you to come with me. You're yoked with me. It's a light yoke. It's an easy yoke. I'll do all. You will learn from me, but I'm going to teach you things about yourself that you need to know. I'm going to teach you things about me that you need to know, and you need to change and to begin to change your thinking. You know, if we pick up our kids, maybe even after they get done with kids program today, parents, if you go and you say, kids, did you have fun? That's not the right word. I mean, I want our kids to have fun, but it's not, did you have fun? It's really, what should you say? What did you learn? I swear, we're looking for churches that we want to have fun. I want to find a church that we do the good songs and we have fun and I walk out and it was fun to go to church. What did you learn today? I mean, why are you in a triad? Why are you in a small group? Why did you join Rooted? It's so we can learn. It's how Jesus teaches us. We do this together. We're yoked with him. He said, I want you to learn this about me. I want you to learn God's word. I want you to learn. It's not about fun. You're still yoked. This movement of rest is so important to Jesus. And that is why I think it's just one of the most important things for our church is to learn how to do this. I want to invite you Wednesday evenings, the first and the third Wednesdays, those gap Wednesdays with the kids, that I'll be doing this course on Sacred Pathways, Gary Thomas. Just how do you connect with God? And we can do that together. You can register. Again, it's just a way to learn. Here's the promises. The promise is this: come, take, learn. And the promise is you will find rest. You will find that biblical rest. I promise. It's kind of like that REM sleep, right? Rapid eye movement. Our REM sleep, for me, it's like, man, I hit the pillow, I am out. But then whatever time I wake up, 3:30, 4 in the morning, then it's hard for me to get back to sleep. Anyone else have that problem? It's kind of restless. I mean, thinking of things and, I just can't. It's not really good sleep. And see, that's where Jesus says, some of you go through and you're so restless, right? You're so restless. You're so restless spiritually. You're so restless. He said, I want to give you true biblical rest. I want to give you REM rest. I mean, this deep rest. I mean, a deep rest where you can trust me with all those worries. You can trust me with the struggles. You can trust me. A deep rest. That's what he promises here. A depth that you can't even imagine. This soul rest is what we call it. And he finishes it by saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can you imagine, again, that first audience when he says, my yoke is easy? I mean, that word had to grab them. Easy? I mean, all we know is hard. Religion is so hard. Being a Christian is so hard. Maybe that's you this morning. It's so hard. If it's hard for you to be a Christian this morning, if it's hard for you to follow Jesus, you're missing something. You're not yoked to the right thing. Jesus says, it's easy. Come with me. It's light. You can do this. I've done it for you. Just come with me. I'm going to invite the team up as we come to the table this morning. I'm going to read this same passage. This comes from Eugene Peterson's message. I'm going to let you have time with this passage when you hold the bread in just a moment. This will be your time to sit with Jesus, your King, your Lord, your Savior, your Counselor, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I love the translation and how it just, again, just so good. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavier or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Hey, ask me in 2 years. Ask me in 5 years. Eric, how are you doing? I hope my response would be, you know what? I'm living lightly and freely. And I hope that's my prayer for you this morning, is that you're living lightly and freely because of what Christ has done for you. That freedom of being free from your sins, the freedom that he sees you today and he'll meet you in these moments. And so as you hold the bread, I'll give you just these blanks and you can sit, the scriptures on the bottom. Hold that bread, reflect, confess, and just meet with the Holy Spirit and what God wants to say. This is an open table, so if you are a guest with us, welcome. As we come to the table this morning, I'm going to ask that we all hold the elements together. We'll take those when we give instruction. I want you to know that this is an open table for those who come. And yet, if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm glad you're here. I pray that as you continue in seeking, that you've heard the Christian message just in those words of Jesus. And I pray that you would come to Christ, even in these moments. If you're here this morning and you have a sin issue, and you're bitter, and you're full of angst because of it, then you need to lay it down. You need to give Christ that burden. But I also have been there too, and if you're not able to, then I would ask for you to abstain from the table. And just wait and go seek counsel. Meet with an elder, a pastor, a Christian friend who can help you resolve that. And then come back and commune. Again, God sees each one of you. He'll meet you in these moments. Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Elders, would you come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your table this morning, we thank you that you are a gracious God, that you are a forgiving God, and that you are a personal God. You know each person here. You know our burdens and our weariness, and you love us so much. And so I pray, Father, that in these moments that you would minister to our thinking, that you would minister to our hearts and our souls, that you would restore us, make us whole, make us like Jesus. Holy Spirit, we wait for your counsel. We wait for your touch and your ministry. Show us truth where we are blind. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Broken for you.
So took a cup. What would have been normal practice of taking many cups on that night, he poured in new meaning. So this cup is a new covenant, a new promise, a new way of operating, a covenant of forgiveness of sins offered to all who come. Again, if you would hold a cup for us to take as well, as we continue to remember the sacrifice of our Lord, elders, please come.
Judgment's true, so I restoring as we yield anew.
Why don't you stand with me? If you're holding this cup in your hand, take a moment to look down at that, or maybe someone's next to you if you're not. This is a reminder that Jesus offers forgiveness from any sin in your life. He says, come to all. We're part of the all. Thank you, Jesus, right? And in this cup, he reminds us that he has a good life, a life that is free, a life that will exhibit rest and love in him. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Father, with our hearts united, each one of us facing all kinds of different things in our lives, from joys to struggles, we lay them down before you. We confess that we're not able on our own. And so we praise you, Jesus, that you offer us this yoke in which you offer rest. Father, may we find rest for our souls in the only true place that we ever will. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to us, that his body was broken and his blood was shed. And we remember that this morning because of the sin that we placed on him, carried freely for us. May we live lives that remember that each and every day, not just when we do these elements. But Father, we praise you and we thank you. Jesus, you are our Savior. You are our God. In your name we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. Let's worship.
Holy like you are. We are your children. You've set us apart. And God, for your glory, make us holy like you are. Make us holy like you are. We are your people, and you are our God, and we are your temple, Lord, make us holy like you are, and we are your children, God, you've set us apart, and God, for your glory, make us holy like you are.
Say to you today, he said something. Were you listening? I would encourage you that whatever he said to you, I know you may think it's private, but I think you need to share it at least with one or two other people. I think that's partly how we grow, is when we're honest with each other as to what God's doing in our lives. So would you consider that? However God spoke, however he moved in your heart, share that with someone, your spouse, a friend, your triad. If you're here this morning and that first step, you've made a decision to follow Jesus, or you want to know more about following Jesus, we have a next step packet there on the back tables, and we'd love for you just to take one, begin to continue that journey of learning who Christ is and why he's so good. And if you have any questions, we would love to meet with you and again just share more of who Jesus is. If you are a guest with us this morning, we're glad you're with us, and we want to meet you. Ways to do that is we have the online connect pad. If you would just take a moment to let us know you're watching or here in the room, and then any prayer requests you have, you can give those in the online connect pad, or there's cards, write those prayer requests down, put them in the bucket, and we will be praying for you this week as well. If you are a guest, at the guest information where you came in, we'd love to meet you, have a gift for you, and get to know you a little bit more that way. Finally, then, we have an offering here this morning. And as you give your offering, it's part of your worship. So thank you for giving online, or again, you can put those in the buckets as you leave. We're going to break into some prayer. This is going to turn from a worship, and part of our worship is turn this into a praying place. And we need to pray for our nation. So those that want to join Pastor Todd, he'll be right over here praying for the hurricane victims and all that's going on in Florida. Then Matthew is going to be right over here praying for those who are headed to Detroit a couple times this week on mission. And then I'm going to have a couple elders right here at the table. If you just need to come and ask for prayer, again, take that step, and an elder will meet you and pray with you. God's blessing to you. Have a great rest of your Sabbath.